The icy sloping deck was eerily quiet. The few people they saw were the privileged passengers whose cabins were on the boat deck. Some were clustered around a motorized pinnace, a sturdy boat built to cruise in the Norwegian fjords. Crew members had been chipping away with hammers and axes at the ice on the davits. With the davit fastenings finally freed, the crewmen surged aboard, pushing aside women, some of them pregnant. Children and wounded soldiers didn't have a chance. Carl drew his pistol and fired a warning shot in the air. The crewmen hesitated, but only for a second, before they continued to fight their way onto the lifeboat. Carl fired another shot, killing the first crewman who had climbed into the boat. The others ran for their lives. Carl lifted a woman and her baby into the boat, then gave the professor a hand before climbing in himself. He allowed some crewmen aboard, so they could throw the dead man out and lower the boat to the water. The hooks attached to the lowering lines were unfastened, and the motor started. The heavily burdened boat wallowed as it moved slowly across the sea toward distant lights from a freighter that was headed their way. Carl ordered the lifeboat stopped to pick up people floating in the water. Soon it became even more dangerously overloaded. One of the crewmen protested.
"There's no room in the boat," he yelled.
Carl shot him between the eyes.
"There's room now," he said,
and ordered the other crewman to toss the body overboard. Satisfied that the short-lived mutiny was under control, he squeezed next to Kovacs.
"You're well, Professor?"
"I'm fine."
He stared at Carl.
"You're a surprising man."
"I try to be. Never let your enemies know what to expect."
"I'm not talking about that. I saw you help the wounded and women. You cradle that baby as if it were your own."
"Things are not always what they seem, my friend."
He reached into his coat and brought out a packet wrapped in a waterproof rubber pouch.
"Take these papers. You are no longer Laszlo Kovacs, but a German national who has lived in Hungary. You have only a slight accent and will easily pass. I want you to disappear into the crowd, become another refugee. Make your way toward the British and American lines."
"Who are you?"
"A friend."
"Why should I believe that?"
"As I said, things are not always what they seem. I am part of a circle that has been fighting the Nazi animals long before the Russians."
Kovacs clutched Carl's arm.
"Can you get my family to safety as well?"
"I am afraid it is too late for that. Your family is no more."
"But the letters?"
"They were clever forgeries, so you would not lose heart and give up your work."
Kovacs stared into the night with a stunned expression on his face. Carl grabbed the professor by the lapel and whispered in his ear,
"You must forget your work for your own good and the welfare of mankind. We cannot risk that it will fall into the wrong hands."
The professor nodded dumbly. The boat banged up against the freighter's hull. A ladder was lowered. Carl ordered the reluctant crewman to take the boat out again to pick up more survivors. From the freighter's deck, Kovacs watched the boat push off. Carl gave one last wave, and the boat disappeared behind a veil of falling snow.